Welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast exploring the creative and curious world of work through monologues and conversations with creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, and changemakers. A day doesn't go by where I'm not considering the future of work. How will ideation and creation work? Will it be writing prompts, letting a computer spit out a rough draft, and then editing the results? What about distribution and economics? How will people find our work, and what will they be willing to pay for it? These are all great questions to think about and consider in the fast-paced world of the 21st century. But an unexamined question entered my mind. What role does history play in our work moving forward? Will we allow it to shape our experience or shun it to our detriment? Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/687. A common theme in the show over the last several monologues has been the cultural emergence of generative AI tools. Initially, my head was firmly in the sand. Then I got my head out of the sand and I was on the fence. But recently, I've been experimenting and incorporating both ChatGPT and Midjourney into my workflow. For example, I was working on some logo comps for a friend, and while wanting to illustrate headline and copy text, I was initially going to use the standard lorem ipsum text. Then I thought, what if I use ChatGPT to generate a fictional mission statement? It did the job that lorem ipsum was going to do, and it actually generated some additional conversations about how to shape that content into usable words. And I gotta say, that was pretty cool. Then I thought, what if I used Midjourney to generate a mannequin in a store so that I could composite the logo onto it? Usually in that scenario, I would spend a few minutes on a site like Unsplash, looking for something passable. But why not try a new tool? I wrestled with the generator to try and get multiple angles of the mannequin and ultimately failed, but I at least tried. I got a passable angle, got all the logo comps created and packaged up, sent them off to my friend, and realized in that moment that I had a pretty cool hybrid workflow that incorporated my multiple decades of technical and visual experience with new technology and tools. One of the first things I noticed in working with Midjourney is that the more I used it, the more I started remembering past moments in my life. Throughout college, both at the University of Washington and the Art Institute of Portland, I took several art history classes. I got excited to return to those textbooks. When you spend hundreds of dollars on an art history book, you're going to keep it. And so I pulled them off the shelves, blew the dust off the top, and I started looking at the different styles of art over the many eras of art history. How can I explain art in a new way, with new words, with those styles of eras long gone? And that is what tapping into history is all about. It's a way to create a foundation under your feet as you run toward the future. Or put another way, it's the force field surrounding you as you journey through the wormhole to the unknown. So in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share 5 ways that you can tap into history as you blaze a trail into the future. First, find ways to bring moments of pure passion and curiosity back to your workflow. I want you to think back to those early years of your work. You know those years where you could sit at your desk for hours upon hours into the middle of the night, doing anything and everything to learn, experiment, and play. You weren't making any money, but your passion outweighed your abilities, and you were excited for everything that you learned. As I was playing with Midjourney, I remembered early in my art career, late 90s, I think 1996, 1997, I used a program called Bryce 3D to generate 3D landscapes. And this was my way of creating artwork. And I used to upload it to my website and share with whomever visited my website. And it was interesting because then I remembered that someone had asked me at one point to make a cover to their CD with the artwork that I was making in Bryce 3D. And I'm sure there were people out there saying, that's not how you do it. You're not a trained traditional artist. kind of some of the things that we hear about Midjourney, right? And what I realized was I just loved using that tool. I was creating art that was an expression of something inside me. But throughout the years, getting an education and getting professional experience and training revealed the quote unquote right way to do things. And as I was trying to do things the right way, I started wrestling more with imposter syndrome and comparing myself to other people and their outputs. Instead of just enjoying the pure magic sometimes that is technology and the tools that allow our creativity to soar. The second way to tap into history is to search for those untapped moments in your industry's history to learn how to do more with less. If you watch any documentary on the early years of cinema or animation, you'll see that a lot of those early pioneers of the technologies had to do an unbelievable amount with hardly any technical abilities, with any technical tools. I mean, they were sometimes blowing things up and using dry ice and trying to do things with computers, with punch cards. I mean, it boggles our minds now. But that ability to do so much with so little is something that as we let technology do more and more for us, we sometimes expect more with more. And so as you look backward in those industries' histories, you're going to start searching for the timeless things and also reveal something within this bias. Just because something is old doesn't mean there isn't any value. Because sometimes I think because of streaming technologies, if it's not new, it's not worth watching. Well, many people might not be looking to the past, but as the Bible scripture says, there is nothing new under the sun. So why don't we step into that and start mining the past? How did people use new technology back then? What was even the cultural response? I remember watching a documentary about Phil Tippett called Mad Dreams and Monsters, and when he was working on Jurassic Park, he was initially going to do stop-motion dinosaurs, and then they were able to use the computer to create the dinosaurs. And at first, he was just like, well, I'm out of a job. And what he did was created hardware that allowed the animators to physically control the digital models in the computer. And that's stepping into the past, into the future, allowing all of that technical skill not to die. And in a way, that's what we're doing when we're searching our industry's history. Third, mine the cultural past for new ideas. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes we get this idea from streaming media that if it's not new, it's not worth it. But watch old films. And when I say old films, anything not from this century, that means watch movies from the 90s, 80s, 70s, all the way back to the 30s and 20s even. With that, keep your eye on the times. What were the ways that they were telling stories, communicating ideas? What were the ideas and the problems and the struggles of then versus now? Listen to old songs. Read books and poems from different centuries. And start asking those questions of what did people care about? And how does it compare to what we care about today? Because as we examine the past and the present, I think we find new solutions to old problems and sometimes old solutions to new problems. The fourth way to tap into history is to study the evolution of your favorite artists. How did they overcome obstacles and hurdles in their career? Not just the creative output, though. Look at how they marketed their work, how they advertised it, the leadership present within the artist's world, maybe how they approached entrepreneurship. You can learn a lot about the business of creativity as you see how the artist evolved through time. Did they make a ton of money and so their art styles changed? Did their art not change because they didn't make much money? And yes, times have changed, but never disregard wisdom just because it comes from a different time than you are in now. And if those artists are still alive, talk to them. Talk to them how they use technology. Talk to them how they look to the past to find their way forward. Maybe it was cover songs as a band. Maybe it was wanting to use different artistic styles or musical styles. Interview them, talk to them, find out, and not let those stories die away into the past. Fifth and finally, document your own historical journey for the future. And this one got me really curious because as I was thinking about history, at some point in the distant future, today is going to be someone else's history. They're going to look back to this time in our world today. They're going to look at our responses to world events, how we talk about technological shifts, how we fearmonger, how we treat people, how we live in blind optimism. Granted, it might be worse in the future, but it also might be better. And the more you can document and share what you're experimenting with, what you're learning, the more future versions of our curious selves will then be able to tap into the history. As we continue to move forward into the future at what feels like the breakneck speed of light, don't forget to stop and look back into the future. There is a wealth of wisdom and experience that can instruct through the changes that are coming, that we're facing as individuals, families, countries, cultures, and societies. And with history in one hand and the future in the other, I believe we can create richer and deeper work that will hopefully last beyond the blink of an eye. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.